Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California. Hermitown is now in session. This song makes me happy and sad at the same time. Welcome to the stage, the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you.
Boy, I don't know. When you started playing that, I was like, weird choice.
Well, I thought about it was either going to be Aladdin, You Got a Friend in Me, or that one. And I thought this one was more sad.
All right. You're meeting it head on is the idea. We're meeting it head on.
Because that's how I first met him, and that makes me the happiest thing in the world because that's how I first knew him.
I grew up on, yeah. I mean, that is how I learned to be funny. I remember being a little kid and imitating Robin Williams, imitating Mork. Like 10 years old, my mom would take me to restaurants and I would just be jumping around, making an ass of myself, trying to do an impression of him. When Carvey was on, we talked about how in high school I would, you know, do my impression of his impressions. And my whole life I've been a hack. Definitely started with him, and we're all...
It was very cool to have him here, the day he died, Jonah, Kumail, Patton, Oswalt, and a few other comic friends of ours went to the Rustic Inn, and we sat down, and everybody had a Robin story. And the stories were all about how he made you feel cool. He made you feel better for having met him. And
that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be honest to not talk about the fact that he was so successful and so regarded and so mainstream. Effective that the comedy community I think had to especially like hang their head because and I'll say it if nobody else does that there was a lot of shit we heaped on his career path over the time because it was just like an easy target because he made so many people so happy. And I think the thing about that is that no matter who you talk to, Everybody would sometimes enjoy that it was like shooting a slingshot at the moon, you know. I'm never going to hit it. But everybody that ever met him, without exception,
no one has
had a story about how joyful and joyful is a dumb word. How sincere and how connected he was. I didn't say anything about it when it happened. This is a doozy. And that's a really appropriate word to use. It's a doozy.
The fact that we
Harold Ramis, John Ritter.
We had him up here with Bobcat, and like Bobcat is and was very close to him, and he's really hurt by it. And we know a couple other people that were really close to Robin and are really affected by it. And I'm not. You know, you and I used to joke about we didn't like that movie and we hated Good Will Hunting and we didn't like this and we would heap shit on him. But also, having met him, you have to take it all back. And also, you find out that you loved everything he ever did. For me, Popeye, he's fucking great in it. And that's the weirdest movie of all time. Why is Robert Altman directing a movie about Popeye? And who did I meet that said, who was it? They said they had stories about meeting Robin. And he's like, we went to Malta to shoot that. Malta, an island in the middle of the Mediterranean. And he's like, there's no coke there. And that was a point in my life when it was fueled by cocaine. Like I had to have cocaine. And so they couldn't get it. They couldn't get cocaine there. So all of a sudden, a bunch of Parisian models, like really sexy female Parisian models, started showing up to the island of Malta. And all of a sudden, Robin Williams had coke. And it turns out that Popeye was made by vagged Parisian model coke.
Vagged?
Like, the models were stuck.
Oh, vagged.
Vagged.
Like pocketed.
Keistering, yeah. He had a bunch of sexy Russian, Parisian mules carrying the stuff. And I was like, it's a good movie. It's a fucking... I don't want to live in a world where Robin Williams wasn't getting Parisian pussy coke.
It was an interesting time too for Twitter. I mean, there was we had to. There's not a single person from. You sometimes, I don't know, like a comedy icon dying, like. There's corners of the comedy world that they didn't affect, and this just wasn't the case. And that's why I kind of stayed silent, because I had a weird effect happen to me where and this is all on me. This has nothing to do with, it's all on me because I didn't want it to be all on me, et cetera, et cetera. Like a swirling irony of weird feelings that I didn't want to take part in some kind of paltrization. It's not a real word. I was reading too much about it and seeing too many people's feelings about it, and all of a sudden felt like, oh, we're ready to accept this, which I wasn't.
I've never seen a death of a celebrity that people instantly wanted to make it about themselves instantly. But I think that, like, and that's not a bad thing. That's just saying that I don't think we've ever seen anybody die that people instantly felt they had a connection to. And those are people that haven't met him, that just people wanted to say, this is my relationship to this guy named Robin Williams. And I was born in the 70s, so I like him for this. I was born in the 90s, so I know him as Aladdin. Some people know him as Peter Pan, which I thought was a terrible movie. But everyone had a connection to this guy because he was in a million things.
I should have collected. I didn't imagine we'd be able to talk about this. I wanted to kind of delicately kind of like, I also didn't think it would be honest to not talk about it, but I also kind of wanted to like scoot around it and like have it just kind of touch us. And I at the time I wasn't thinking about curating things, but I think it's fascinating collecting the horrible, horrible ways that people mourn sometimes on Twitter. The things that they say,
his daughter said some nice thing, and she got fucking waylaid by a bunch of assholes, and like,
I got tweeted by a guy who was saying, "Hey, listen, man, this is like 2 days later." A guy said, "Hey, listen, community's great. You're great. I think you're doing a great job. I think you're a really, really talented person. Hashtag,
however,
didn't tell Robin." And I was like, whoa, okay, all right.
Wait, I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, you got to let it sink in for a second. That's the thing about it. Like, you go, like, didn't tell Robin? Wait, oh. Okay. People coping with it in different ways, people coping with their relationships with others through
In our small little comedy world, like Los Angeles, but also he did it all over the country and probably all over the world, so many people I know that do improv shows, small time, no one goes to them, like nothing improv shows, or UCB, which people do go to, people have a story where Robin shows up and... just wants to watch. And then you say, will you come on stage? And he'll kind of balk at it, but he'll get up there. And he'll get up there on stage with people and makes everybody feel like the coolest person in the world. And I think, like, I feel very touched and honored. Like, I met him when he came on Harmontown here. I had happened to have dinner with him two nights before. And we sung songs and improvised stuff. And he made me feel like, well, first of all, I felt like an audience member at the coolest show of all time. Because he was just doing this like command performance that nobody commanded, and he stood up, and my girlfriend is Scottish, and he just starts improvising Scottish songs, and so I had ukulele and some friends had guitars, and he just started improvising folk songs, and he did perfect Scottish accents, says she, like perfect Glasgow and perfect Edinburgh, and we just like we laughed so hard. And he was sober at that time. We were all drinking wine, but he was sober as a barrel, and that was it. And then two nights later, I didn't know he was going to be here. Bobcat was here, and Robin had happened to call Bobcat saying, "Hey, I'm going to Meltdown Comics to buy some comic books because they love comic books." And Bobcat said, "Oh, well, I'm here. I'm going to do the show with my friends called Harmontown. Would you want to come on stage?" Oh, you know, he kind of balked that. Dan didn't tell me about that. So I come out here, sit stage left, play a song, and Dan makes a joke like, "You guys don't deserve the show." Like, Bobcat Goldthwait. So Bobcat comes out, and then he says, "Bobcat, fuck off." And then he says, and Bobcat leaves, and he goes, "Robin Williams." I'm like, I've been laughing. And I go, like, "Yeah, Kobe Bryant." But Robin comes out, and he hugged me because we had hung out, and he made me feel like we had been best friends forever. Like, he had a cool ability to make you feel really cool, really special. And I don't know him. I met him twice, but I kind of felt like I did. And it's I'm pretty proud of the fact that we had him here, and it made me cry really fucking hard because I have friends that are really close to him.
Yeah, Aaron was really devastated by it, and I don't know, everybody was. It's just like,
I didn't expect to be though. I wouldn't have expected to be devastated by that because I didn't feel very close to him. I didn't know him. I met him once, but I feel like it was a weird thing. And when I sat and Patton Oswalt showed up, and we just sat down, and he had some really, everyone has really good stories. He has better ones because he's met her more. And I said, I just don't feel like I was ready for him to not be around.
No, that, you know what? That's what it is. I don't think anybody was ready for him to not be
around.
It's
a weird thing to have some
I think everybody thought that he was always going to be around. That's how I felt
certainly
about Harold Ramis,
too. 20 more, 30 more years. Like, I think he was hitting his stride. And it's like, it's a weird thing to have subtracted from your existence because you didn't realize the value that he had.
Let's bring out Camille to everybody, big applause and cheers.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm wiping tears and snot off my face right now.
I'm just not sure about the Morgan Mindy theme as a choice. I don't know.
You know what? I took a lift here, and I
will tell you, none of these people knew what that was.
Well, that's why I chose.
Friend and me, dude.
I wasn't
not friend and me. Yeah.
I wasn't
friend
to,
like me.
I wasn't trying to be morose, but I thought I was taking a lift, like a, you know, an Uber kind of car here. And I was sitting with a guy who actually has driven me to this show before. He's like, "Oh, you're the guy that does that show."
Stubnort?
I wish it was Stubnort.
Gore? Evrelon?
His name is Neil. And
what?
I said, "Neil, like, do you know this song?" And I played the Mork and Mindy theme. And he goes, "No, what's that?" I go, "This is the theme from Mork and Mindy." He goes, "What's Mork and Mindy?" I said, it's a show that Robin Williams was in when I first met him in the 70s. Like, that's how he was introduced to my universe. And I said, "Or this one." And I played, you got, was it Friend Like Me?
Friend Like Me, yeah.
I played it in that, and he goes, "Aladdin." "Oh, Aladdin."
Yeah.
And he goes, "No, that's too sad." He said, and he goes, "No, that's how I know him." And for me, also, when you hear his voice, I can play it for you right now.
No, don't do it. I don't mean that in a bad, it is devastating.
I played it for myself, and you go, "Oh, there's Robin doing a French guy, doing an Italian guy, doing a this guy, doing a that guy." And it's Robin pouring out all that shit.
Yeah.
I go, "I'm going to play it, because that makes me happy, because that makes me like feel like a kid." But the Aladdin one I thought would be worse.
We did, after Meltdown, we played that one, and it was like, "Oh, okay, this was a mistake." Like, it was just very sad. I think part of the thing is that there is literally nobody else that I've been a fan of my entire life. When I was a little kid, I loved Popeye. And there's always, no matter how old you are, there's a Robin Williams movie that is, like, right for you. So I think that's part of it. It's like, you know, obviously, like, Robert De Niro and all are amazing, but when I was a kid, I didn't give a shit. But I gave a shit about Robin Williams, like, every day of my fucking life. I remember I saw this. My dad had this magazine. Popeye was my favorite cartoon. I convinced myself spinach tasted good because of Popeye. It doesn't. It tastes like shit. Popeye was made by the spinach lobby.
It animates your tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like do this.
One bicep would have a one battleship, and it would shoot a missile at the other bicep.
Yeah. I my dad had this magazine, and it had Robin Williams as Popeye on the cover, and I was like, there's a fucking movie about Popeye? What the fuck, Dad? It's the first time I said fuck. And then we tracked it down. This was Pakistan, so there's no, you know, it's hard to track down these movies, and I watched it. And
you had to go to the Popeye district.
Yeah. Which is a dangerous part of town, yeah.
Who played Bluto in that one? Brutus Bluto? Who played
Bluto?
Yeah. Anyone know who played him in that?
Jeremy Sisto.
Because I remember thinking that was the only character that didn't give me what I wanted.
David Eisenstiers, yeah. I think it was.
Eisenstiers?
No.
But Shelley Duvall was perfect.
Shelley Duvall was born to play Olive Oil.
I mean, the movie.
I'm just caught up with the crane shot of the Popeye District in Pakistan. With like, when you establish like the Tom Clancy movie that starts there. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm being offensive.
No. Say something about Islam in a format that everyone can hear.
Dan Harmon, everybody. Dan, thanks for coming.
I just got the dramatic.
Yeah, you thought you got in trouble for playing the Chevy Chase voicemail? Chevy Chase doesn't have an army.
With the Tom Clancy Chiron, the Pakistan Popeye District.
Yeah, like the green old computer font, like typing. Popeye District. Karachi, Pakistan.
Hey, yeah.
But it's animated. Wait,
something like that.
Kamel, be honest. What did he just say?
He said, Popeye is our Lord and Savior. Popeye is great. Popeye Hawakbar, as you guys know.
I always wonder in the movies when they establish, they go like, you know, they establish an exotic location and then there's a guy in the distance going, it's the equivalent of a rooster going like, oh, good, oh, good. Like, yeah. If you're in the Middle East in a movie, hear some guy going, hey! Like he's freaking out. I always wonder what is he doing? What is he singing?
It's the call to prayer.
It's the call to prayer. It happens all over the Muslim world.
He's freaking out.
So it's always the same thing.
Not praying.
So it's like taps?
No, it's.
Is taps a call to prayer?
No, taps is a call to a guy just died.
Yeah.
It's time for us to pray. It's time for us to pray. It's time for us to pray in the morning.
That's basically, it's called the azan, is what it's called. And it is a call to prayer, and we hear it 5 times a day. And the first time you hear it is at 5 a.m. That's when you're supposed to pray. So every night, at 5 a.m., you hear that sound, which I'm not going to do.
Are there lyrics? Is it? Is it?
Yeah.
It's a prayer.
Huge, it's a huge karaoke song.
Turn around every now and then. Yeah. I get a little bit lonely and you're never kneeling down.
The ball bounces, but it goes the other way.
Kneeling down.
Every now and then.
What is that? When you hear that and the guy Azan? Wakes up, what are they saying?
Azan?
Yeah. You don't know.
It's in Arabic, and I don't speak Arabic, but it's basically like I'm guessing it's like, God is great.
Right.
It's time to
pray. Yeah, I mean, that's a safe bet.
God is amazing, but also kind of needy. So if you.
don't take him for granted.
Yeah. If God was your friend, you'd be like, this guy's a dick. He's like, so how about. I've been pretty good today, right?
Yeah, you're going to be hearing this 4 more times today. Don't fucking, don't slouch.
You're hanging out and he's like, time? Oh, okay, sorry. You're great, Ralph.
Kamel, speaking of lyrics to songs, Dan and I were out having lunch today, and we were at a bar, and we heard some classic rock being played on the jukebox. You've heard of, like, we wrote lyrics to the Night Court theme song.
I don't know that.
You're not familiar with that?
No.
Do you know the Night Court theme?
No.
So we wrote lyrics to that.
Okay.
And we also wrote this Pringles dick, chicken noodle dick.
We're
famous for our songwriting.
I've heard of Pringles dick, but I don't know the context of it. I love it.
I wrote that one on the road with like the Who's Line guys, and I wrote the song about Pringles dick. I was holding a Pringles can near my dick, and
I always thought it was a guy whose dick was as big as a Pringles can.
No,
it's not.
It's
just like
some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out why. Sing along if you know it.
I don't really have a Pringles dick. I just keep my dick inside.
I keep my dick inside a Pringles can because it keeps my penis safe and dry. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out.
No,
I never found out. I never really found out why.
Yeah, he does a ballad of a guy who doesn't understand.
So we should, that should replace the Muslim call to prayer, by the way. So it would be Popeye District. Some people call it Pringles Dick.
Some people call it Pringles Dick.
Wait, Kumail, can you do a good impression of the call to prayer?
He doesn't know the lyrics.
Okay, you could do a better like impression of like
yeah, I'm not going to. I'm not gonna do it, but I can do it.
Is it blasphemous to do an impression of it?
In a comedy show, yeah.
it's probably tacky, yeah. That's right.
How close was Dan?
We don't have tacky. We have like praying, and then everything else is blasphemy. Those are the two modes.
All right,
this ain't praying.
So Dan and I were at a bar, and a classic rock song, which I think most of you wouldn't know, came on, and Dan started singing, and it was about pooping in some sand.
So what did you guys change the lyrics to?
We made a song called Poopy Sand. I'm pretty sure we're going to fuck it up.
I'm pretty proud of it.
I think it's pretty good. You ready, Dan?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's try this out.
I'm
going to play the karaoke version of the song, but I think you'll know it. The song is called Poopy Sand. All right. Dan, you ready to go?
Yeah. I'm a little nervous.
Me too. Also, if we don't get it right, we can do it again. Okay, here we go.
You guys have lyrics on your phone?
Yeah.
Lord, I am making poopy sand. Pooping in a bucket and adding a scoop of sand. Lord knows I got a big supply, but there ain't that much demand. Lord, I'm making poopy sand. I sell it from an abandoned van.
Yeah.
The recipe was handed down to me by my old man. It's basically a bucket which I poop inside, and I add a handful of sand. Lord, I'm making poopy sand.
Poopy sand. You'll learn it.
Wow. I don't want to be a naysayer, but it sounds more like you're making sandy poop. It's more sandy poop than it is poopy sand. Poopy sand would be if you were shitting into sand.
Kumail, you weren't there, man. This is a moment in time.
Thank God, I would have fixed it. No, it's basically sand is amazing.
It's basically a bucket which I poop inside, then I add a handful of sand.
It's perfect. I'm just
Lord,
jealous I wasn't
there.
Lord,
this guy, he's making poopy sand.
Let's go to Harmontown in the news corner.
Sometimes Harmontown's in the news. Sometimes Harmontown's not in the news.
Harmontown News Corner.
Oh, well, what would you got a news article about a Harmontown? Gonna put a bucket inside of a Mama Brown.
Okay, come on, back it up. We're all high. It's not funny. It's not professional.
It's just.
It's
a recipe handed down by his old man. He's just a guy selling sandy poop out of his van.
There's a lot of supply, but no demand.
I'm proud of the internal unconscious rhyme between recipe and basically, because he says, it's a recipe that was handed me, and then he's like, it's basically a bucket that basically a recipe.
Yeah.
All right, come on. Knock it off.
I'm certain that Poopy Sand is a song that will... Dan, if you and I write 3 more songs, we have a record, and then we can go on tour.
I don't want to throw down any gauntlets, but I feel like it's better written than Ramblin' Man. Okay. I don't know if anyone's alive that will take offense to that, but if you are, bring it.
I think there's like 19 Allman Brothers. One of them's alive.
Dan Harmon goes toe-to-toe with the remaining Allman brother. It's like everyone be against me because it's like, they're vanishing. They're a vanishing people. It's not funny. Also,
were they brothers? I don't know. There's no way all of them are brothers.
But they were all right. Man.
Dope. They were all man. Thank you, fucking Adam Goldberg, you son of a bitch.
Who's in back there in the green room? Who's peeking over Spencer's shoulder? Who's that?
That's Dave Clark. He's the wonderful artist.
The artist for all of the meltdowns.
All the meltdown stuff. Yeah.
Also, Dave, if I'm not mistaken, you're the newest member of my Clash of Clans clan.
All right, come on, guys. Keep the show on target. Yeah, good luck with your art.
Are we done with Poopy Sang?
I thought he was Jason Sudeikis.
Pretty good.
He looks more like Wade Randolph.
He's wearing a specific hat. Okay.
Depending on what the news segment is, that song could be very inappropriate. What news are we talking?
I want to know what you're thinking.
Yeah, this was a very upbeat.
This was the news.
Oh, no. This is upbeat news. The Harmon Town was reviewed by the LA Times. It was a critic's pick.
The movie?
The LA Times is a movie?
Harmontown Doc?
Harmontown.
No. Our show. This show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The show that you're on.
This
show was reviewed?
I selected a paragraph because we're all mentioned in it, and I thought it was pretty funny. I think he might have written it in a hurry.
don't review the review.
Yeah.
Well, I
gotta get those out every day.
I just thought it was funny because it's like within one paragraph he says a lot of funny stuff.
Let's see it.
This is in the midst of this paragraph. It was very flattering about Harmontown. L.A. Times critics pick. He does surround himself with relatively more grounded compatriots, including most regularly co-host and comptroller Jim Davis.
Wow, the guy who created Garfield? You made Garfield?
What's his name? What's the guy's name that reviewed this?
It'd be great if he was a comptroller, Jerry O'Connell.
His name is Robert Lloyd.
Jerry passed on this. That's the reason why I'm the comptroller.
But semicolon, comedian fiance Erin McGathy, who has a podcast of her own.
A podcast. Yeah.
This feels terrible.
Was he on The Lamb?
Is this LA Times?
And the half-ubiquitous Kumail Nanjiani. I didn't know you were biracial.
Ubiquitous. What does that mean?
I think you're kind of like approaching Seth Rogen territory.
I think he thinks you're from Ubiquistan.
Half ubiquitous.
Ubiquistan.
It's like half misogynist.
I
kind of hate women. I'm half ubiquitous. I'm everywhere half the time.
I'm 50% of everywhere.
Can I see this real quick? Is this really on the LA Times website?
He called me Jim Davis. What a fucking cunt.
Aaron has a podcast.
A podcast.
That's about those New Orleans sandwiches.
Yeah.
The modern media is not reacting well to the internet. They're like, what the fuck? What are the presses rolling? They're rolling all the time, Lloyd.
Lord, go!
I spilled coffee on myself.
Wait.
Half ubiquitous. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I can't believe that the only name he got right was fucking Kumail Nanjiani.
That's true.
Well, I am half ubiquitous.
Yeah, he half the places he looked, he could find the right spelling.
It is amazing how often my name is misspelled just because it's not a name that you see like, oh, I got this. It's a name you have to look up. I would think it would never be misspelled because you're like, I gotta get this one, right?
Yeah, I
Jeff
have...
Davis, Jim Davis, whatever. Those are common names.
Don't
I mean.
Fucking diminish me.
No. I don't mean
you
to.
You fucking racist.
I'm half racist.
I got a...
No, you're half ubiquitous.
Yeah.
That's the end of my notes, minus one thing. I got an insider in the Uber community. My driver Sergey today told me I have 4.7 stars as a passenger.
I'll tell you, if my driver had 4.7, I'd be like, no, give me a different one.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, what the fuck did I do wrong?
I feel like I have at least one of my Lyft drivers that came tonight. Is that true? Is someone here? Lyft driver?
We love you, Jim.
Can I say? I met a guy last night who won an Emmy last night for doing the special effects for Game of Thrones. He said he was going to be here. Is he here?
Oh, yeah?
No, he's not here, I guess.
No?
I'm joking. Are you here, Adam?
I'm here.
Oh, see? He came. He won an Emmy last night.
Does he want to come up?
I don't know.
He won an Emmy last night.
Do you want to come up?
Get up here, Game of Thrones.
You can come up if you want. We don't bully people. I don't know how he can signify if he doesn't want to come up, because there's just darkness
back
there.
I think he's doing it by not coming up.
I think I see him coming. Either
there. He's riding a dragon here.
Well, he's riding a tennis ball, and it'll be a dragon later.
Loose about this.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Adam won an Emmy last night.
Congratulations. It was the Creative Arts Emmys last night. Correct, yeah. It was fucking hard to get across town.
You won an Emmy for visual effects?
Visual effects, yeah.
For Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Holy smokes. So what did you actually do on it?
Like, I'm the coordinator on it.
So you what did you, like, give us some specifics that we can remember visually?
Well, no, I manage all the different visual effects on the show, the dragons, all the
you draw
environments. What?
You draw?
No, I just manage.
Are you the reason why there's so few dragons on Game of Thrones?
No, that's budgetary.
Are you the guy that goes to set and makes sure the camera's locked down and
we have data wranglers that do that, but
data wranglers.
But I you know,
I imagine ones and zeros and they've got a lasso.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Sarah.
And then we have supervisors that go to set, but I manage all their times and where the green screens go. And
what is the episodic budget for Game of Thrones? Because it seems like a show that couldn't possibly be a TV show, because it looks
amazing.
It's a gigantic expenditure, right?
Yeah. I bet it's... Oh, can you? Are you allowed to say?
Oh, I'm not allowed to say the obviously the budget, but you know.
Okay, here, look at me. $8 million
an episode?
Oh, fucking!
He looked away when I said that.
Oh, it's way more than that.
An episode? No.
It's more than $8 million, isn't it? No,
it's not $20 million an episode. I know that.
There's no such thing as a show that's $8 million an episode.
It looks like a show that's $20 million an episode. It's like it's
well,
so...
but they do a good job of like making the big scenes big and then the small scenes. Just, you know, they balance it out. It's not like every scene has dragons flying around. You know, they do a good job of mixing it.
What's
up.
The biggest money spender on that? Is it cast or is it digital stuff? Like, is it effects?
It certainly matters on which cast, but you know, the dragons would be probably one of the most expensive part of the visual effects budget.
Yeah.
What about the... Yeah.
I don't know if I really answered the question there.
Are any of the boobies fake? Like CG?
No, you know.
Oh, not like implants fake?
No, I mean like CG fake.
CG
yeah.
fake.
You know, like you know, we certainly clean up
boobies.
I think
boobies are like you get real boobies, it's cheaper than a dragon.
Wait, also, and that's what's wrong with this country.
Capitalism!
So how do you guys know each other?
I just met him last night at the Emmys.
Why were you there?
I presented an award.
I did last 2 years. They didn't invite me back. Guess Yahoo's not a real network.
Joel McHale.
I was a fucking star there, man. They were like, we're not airing these. Bring Harmon out here.
Dan, don't get fired off Yahoo this quickly.
No, I'm on Yahoo's side. I'm just saying, when are we going to get some props? Bring me back to the Schmemmies.
I was there 2 years ago when you presented, and you guys were definitely the best presenters.
Thank you. What was your name?
Adam.
All right. You hear that, Emmys?
Yeah, only eclipsed only by the half ubiquitous presenter this year.
If I am not presenting at next year's Creative Arts Emmys, Adam is going to send a swarm of orange golf balls that will later become serpents.
Dan, you've many times called them the Schmemmies. Do you
well,
think
that's maybe Kathy Griffin's?
Maybe they're like they're a little fed up with that. Or?
No, come on. They, all right, Adam.
If anybody else said that, we'd get an applause break. It's true.
Kathy Griffin coined that, I think. Everybody that's at the Creative Arts Emmys has a sort of self-effacing like awareness of the fact that we've been pushed to the. Off the air, off the primetime Emmys. But,
semis, we like to call
them. Oh, the semis. See, that's...
No, but they look just like the real ones,
oh,
right?
Yeah, certainly, yeah.
Yeah. I held his Emmy.
I have one. I have one.
I held his semi. And it didn't stay a semi for long. I'll tell you that.
Became a full primetime Emmy.
Became an Oscar, which is amazing.
And then back down to daytime Emmys. Became Tony.
I wouldn't think it would become a Tony, like at its most rigid. It would become a Tony. Adam, is that your passion, doing digital effects?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a few years now, and I enjoy doing it. So.
What were you doing before that?
When I first graduated, I was a freelancer over at the Onion News Network.
Really?
Oh, yep. Nice.
Doing what? Writing?
No, just I was a set PA when I first came out of college, and then I moved to Los Angeles. I got a gig at a visual effects house, and I've been doing it ever since.
What software? Are you a software guy? Are you actually doing the?
No, he's coordinating.
Yeah, no, right? I just manage all the work.
So you're not modeling or animating?
No,
so.
No.
Yeah, but you could do it if you wanted to.
I wish I could.
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys use? You guys use Maya? You guys use Maya?
Are you guys using C++? What's going on?
You guys use Lightwave?
Is it
you guys use Avid?
Flash? Oh. Is it Flash?
You guys use Flash?
What if it was just basic? They're fucking just like,
yeah, logo.
Do you use a plugin?
Do you guys do cookies?
Do you have cookies installed?
I heard the whole Game of Thrones is all print shop. The whole thing is nothing but print shop.
Wow.
What do you guys use?
Well, different vendors use different software. So there's a Maya and a Max.
Maya.
See?
You did say Maya. You're right.
Yeah.
They composite a Nuke and.
Oh, Nuke.
Yeah.
You know what I miss?
Super interesting.
Do you ever use Shake?
We don't really use Shake at ours now.
Well, now Apple bought it and phased it out, right?
Boy, Shake was great.
Oh. Yeah.
Whew, for you compositors out there.
I just got a semi.
Boy, I really miss Shake.
But he came up to me last night.
That's the one with the little nodes or modules.
They
or
all got nodes.
Nodes.
I mean, they don't all have nodes. Maya's got nodes. Nuke's got nodes. Shake invented nodes. I mean, Shake really brought nodes to a new node level. Node-based architecture is where it's at.
I am not interested in this conversation.
If you could make a little gagu, you could say, I want this gagu to bounce up and down. And that's a node, like the transform on the y-axis. And then you decide later, oh, I want him to also, while he's bouncing up and down, I want him to move horizontally. So then you add another node. You could delete that node, turn it on, turn it off. You can improvise.
This podcast is also a subliminal weight loss tape. You can just play this at night and you lose weight.
What else do you guys want to ask me,
Adam? He came up to me last night holding an Emmy and he was like, hey, sorry to disturb you. I was like, this is the best fucking icebreaker. You could walk up to anybody holding an Emmy. You're like, hey, can I cut to the front of this line? At the back, you should take your Emmy there. Is this your first Emmy?
Third, actually.
How many do you have?
He's the best.
I have one.
Oh, you have one? He has three times.
Mine's for best original lyrics or music in a comedy or variety show.
I was in a commercial that won a Clio, but that doesn't go to the actor. It goes to the ad company.
You know what my genius move was? In my acceptance speech for my Emmy, I said I was ugly. So at the governor's ball, all these celebrities, beautiful people, were coming up to me going, I think you look great.
Oh, that's horrible.
An hour and a half of just random, beautiful people going,
did you also
you're not so bad looking.
That's
thank
horrible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you also win the coveted Passy Aggressi?
Hey, man, they don't know the difference.
Are
they
fishy for calm, please?
Do I look fatty in these jeansies?
Hey, you're only going to win one Emmy. Like, make the fucking cake out of it. And I think that's an expression.
So, Adam, are you back on the next season of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I fly back to Belfast where we shoot the show tomorrow.
Is that right?
Yep.
And how do you feel about the season? Are you looking forward to it?
Is it good? What's happening? What's going to happen?
I wish I could tell you. It's going to be...
Stop recording, Dustin. You can tell us. Yeah.
Adam, spoil the fuck out of this. Ruin Game of Thrones for everybody.
You really think he's going to tell you what's going to happen next season?
He couldn't say what the budget was.
Kill him. With his Emmy, they'll slit his throat.
They will send orange golf balls after him.
Yeah.
Why
did they fire that one guy that was the blonde guy that likes Khaleesi?
Oh, he got into a movie.
And then all of a sudden, there's a guy from Nashville that fucking took his place.
Yeah, he looks like a hipster, the guy that they replaced. Yeah, he just got a movie. He's doing the Transporter reboot. Also, they're doing a Transporter reboot.
All right, Adam, can you tell us why that guy had to take a hike?
No comment.
All right.
Oh, shit.
No, honestly, I don't really know. I don't know that.
But you know who we're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you hung out with Dinklage?
I have, yes.
Becca had, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, but the guy that left, he had what can only be described as he had rape face, which is not. You know, he just had like a weird. He looked very aggressive.
But that was his character, family wasn't friendly? It? No. That was kind of his character.
Yeah, I mean, he was well cast, I guess, but.
He was like a low rent Fabio. I liked him.
Yeah, he's the king of the rape faces.
But then,
Fabio.
All of a sudden, he's replaced by the guy that's a producer that's also kind of rapey in Nashville. But he looks like a hipster from like Silver Lake.
Yeah, he does look like a hipster, the new guy.
All right, let's ask Adam something that he can answer. All right, which actor on Game of Thrones is the least patient about having to interact with things that aren't there?
I don't think I can answer that either.
Well, do you know the answer? You don't have to say it, but it's in your head.
There's got to be somebody that's like, oh, man.
You all know that person. You know, I'm sure you have that on Community, too.
Yes, we do.
Wait, but Adam,
yeah, we knew who that was. You played his voicemail.
You made it very evident,
Adam,
certainly.
Is there one person that stands out as the least patient with the digital effects?
Yeah.
You don't have to say who it is, but is there one person that you go, oh, yeah, that... But there is one, right?
That's certainly, like, yes.
Yeah. Would, if we guessed the person, and we were right, would you nod?
I'm just trying to figure out how you would guess said person.
Oh. Yeah. I'll go to IMDb and just go down the list.
I guess
you
just go do it. Next.
All right. Is it true that there's a second, smaller wall north of the wall?
That should be a question for George R.R. Yeah. Martin. When are you finishing the new book?
Adam, are you a big fan of the books? Do you even care? Or is this just you're just a gun
this
for hire?
This is just a fuck-off for you. It's just a fuck-off.
I started on a...
It's like you're working at a goddamn water park.
I started on season two, so I was like, let me read book one. And then I watched season one. I knew what happened. So I was like, let me read book two.
Is it true that Jon Snow knows nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, Lena Headey.
She doesn't work in the
Peter
digital effects.
Peter Dinklage. Amelia Clark. Sweet, sweet Amelia Clark.
Sweet, sweet.
Maisie Williams.
He nodded. That's the one. He nodded.
Okay. Got it.
All right. Well, let's thank Adam for coming
thank
up
you,
and
Adam.
Congratulate him on his Emmy. Game of Thrones. Trying to fuck your mama, but digging up all your bones. When I see Peter Dinklage, you know I fucked your phone.
You know I fucked your phone?
You know I fucked your phone.
That's kind of triple, right?
When I see Peter Dinklage, I fucked your phone.
Yeah. Every time you see Peter Dinklage, no, I fucked your phone. He loves fucking phones.
I just melted a bunch of swords for the throne.
All right, Dan?
What? Bring Spencer out?
No.
Oh.
No.
Game of Thrones freestyle to Ramblin' Man. Go.
Lord, I produce the Game of Thrones. Calling up your mama on every single phone. Telling her to get down here and fight the skeleton bones. I'm producing Game of Thrones.
Kamel, take it.
I can't do this. I can't sing. Hello, that's the only singing I know.
That guy ruins everything.
You'd rather blaspheme than improvise to a song.
What have I done? Oh, no.
You were
were so against it earlier on.
Yeah.
You fucking panic and just sell out your heritage.
I fought one myself.
Let's bring out the new George R. R. Martin, Spencer Crittenden!
Hey guys.
Hello, Spencer.
It's Spencer.
It is.
What do you think about all that stuff?
All that, it was a great singing attempt by both of you.
Attempt.
Game of Thrones, good times.
Right.
George R. R. Martin, no. Not me.
Didn't you meet George R. R. Martin in Comic-Con?
I stared at him from across. We were there's this hotel that wasn't our hotel, but we were just hanging out at it. We were hanging out in like the bar area that was outside. There was he was just drinking what were they?
Pina colada.
Pina colada, that's the one.
Is it? Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's what he was drinking.
He doesn't look like what I expected him to look like. He looks like he looks like kind of like a Hemingway kind of character. Like
he looks like a sea captain.
Yeah.
I met him. He was very nice. And I was like, all right, steal yourself. There's going to be, he's going to smell like the sea, but he didn't. He smelled like a normal person. And he was very nice.
The sea is a nice smell.
Yeah, the sea smells great.
I mean, they have like colognes named after the sea.
Like what?
Ocean. Ocean smell.
Ocean smell?
Scent of the sea.
Cool water.
Aqua.
Velva.
Smell. That's just what aqua smell. Fish smell like
ocean
awfulness.
Sniff.
Yeah. You expected him to smell like a fish or like this, like a salty breeze?
Some sort of mer creature. I don't know why, but like barnacles. But he was very nice and he smelled great. Yeah. Not that I smelled him, but there wasn't like an obvious negative. I'm sorry, Adam.
George R. R. Martin didn't smell. Going on the podcast and saying it to who I tell.
Take it, then.
That's too late. I just did the bit. That's not... pooping in your...
So our song is a ballad about a guy that sells poop and sand in a bucket out of the back of an abandoned van.
It's a great song. Lord knows I got a big supply, but there ain't that much demand. I love that he...
That's my favorite line.
He lives such a visceral existence that he poops in a bucket and thinks he can sell it to people. But he's well-versed in like a ninth grade level economics. He knows supply and demand. He's like, I know what my problem is. Like, in terms of what I learned in high school,
I know what I'm doing wrong. The problem. I just fill buckets every day.
Sooner or later, this bubble's gonna burst. Like,
is the bucket
a metaphor?
Do they have to return? No. Do you have to return the bucket, or is the bucket part of the deal?
No.
Like when you sell it,
when you buy a bucket of poopy sand, that bucket is yours to keep.
Is it cheaper than just an empty bucket?
No. Well,
it's more expensive to buy a bucket you have to clean.
I think it's just a little bit more expensive. You're paying for the poop and the ratio of poop to sand in the bucket.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people in the bucket community have talked about this, and they call it the price of the bucket is the poop and the sand in it, because you got to wash it out. That's man hours.
Oh, okay.
It's a couple bucks more than a bucket.
Just a bucket is a bucket. Yeah. And
you're better off buying a bucket. If that's all you want, don't fuck around. That's why this guy's going broke. He lives in a van.
But it's a recipe passed down to him by his old man.
That's a heartbreaker. Yeah. But
he's just sticking with the company, the family business.
If this country ran on heartstrings, you know, then we'd all be millionaires.
Was his dad also a professional poopy sand maker, or was just that his hobby?
It certainly was a recipe that he perfected. And
right,
guy,
but was he selling it?
Well, that's the third verse that we haven't written yet. Right? We don't know that. I would presume that the father probably died broke selling poopy sand, and the son said, look, like, I have to live up to my father's dying wishes, which is to sell and perfect the manufacture and the distribution of poopy sand buckets. And the fact that he's selling it out of an abandoned van that's sad to me, because he should be selling it from a roadside stand, which also rhymes.
And that's what's exciting to me.
He could have easily been selling it from a roadside stand. It rhymes.
I should be at a roadside,
Valentine's Day. The third verse. Yeah.
But all
the glitters isn't gold, and I'm doing the best I can. He doesn't know. He's just trying his hardest.
This new Walmart-dominated economic sphere is got me on the lam.
Yeah. I'm just selling poopy sand.
And it's like what went wrong with our country is the message.
Yeah.
And when a man can't go out and apply his father's trade.
Yeah. Tradesmanship, the dying embers of a world where people, there was unions, and there was pride in the ownership of a small business.
And this country, you know, in the countries of this world, the powers that be, it originated from an axis that rotated on the bond between a father and son.
Yeah. But his problem is, even by himself, he oversaturated the market with poopy sand buckets because there's so much supply,
yeah.
And there's just not the demand. Yeah. There used to be a higher demand for poopy
sand.
And there's
a whole bridge where it talks about how the ocean just keeps making more sand.
Yeah.
So he's
the ocean for poop, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like him and the ocean. Let's say, and
he's trying to create
balance.
He
regrets not becoming a fisherman.
Yeah.
Because he has more of a... It seems like the only...
Also, because sand, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sure that I'm wrong, from a Richard Attenborough documentary, that most sand is from fish pooping out the coral that they eat. So like the fish nibble on the coral and they poop sand, and that creates little islands. Like, this guy's just creating a cyclic circle of life.
I mean, this is beautiful. What's he doing with the poopy sand he's not selling?
He has a van.
Like yesterday's poopy sand. Is that a discount?
I think.
Is the van full of yesterday's?
Full disclosure, I'm pretty sure he's selling you yesterday's poopy sand. I think that you're not always getting fresh poopy sand.
I'm picked up. No, wait, no. Make it about Chinese murder vans. That was what I was going to do.
I missed the Chinese murder van thing.
The Chinese. I couldn't.
You want to try?
No. We're done. It's okay. Let's move on. Thanks, everybody. All right. So we're sad. We're grieving. We're in the news. The LA Times.
You were also in a Forbes article.
Oh, yeah. There was a Forbes article that quoted, I make a 5 stars. But they just mentioned it. Yeah,
basically.
They just mentioned it. They were talking about Uber, and they're like, you know, and it's all over the media.
Dan Harmon had
an opinion on it in his episode, I make a 5 stars. And then they just moved on. It's good to have efficacy. We should do something with it. Everybody vote.
No.
Everybody vote for no more voting.
if no more voting came up for a vote, then I would vote.
Nice. But then what would you really do that Monday? We did it. We voted for no more voting, and then you'd go out and your garbage would be. Everybody would party for a while, then there'd be garbage piling up. Who's going to collect this? And then the garbage man would be like, I didn't get voted to pick up
it's
the garbage.
It's not like you vote to get garbage people to collect your garbage.
No, but they...
That's a whole structure in place.
Yeah, but you Nobody's vote for a guy like... to yell at them or something.
No, you don't. They say that you do, but you fucking don't.
No.
So you think everybody would keep picking up the garbage?
It's the myth of efficacy, the idea that your vote matters a fucking iota, which it does not. If it did, it would fucking change things, which it cannot. The voting is an absolute piece of malarkey.
You think they keep picking up the garbage automatically?
Boomy, yeah. And I understand that, but
that's
your vote means nothing. It never has. It cannot. It will not. Your vote means nothing.
There's a weird... I don't understand...
You might as well go to the booth and put poopy sand in there.
I feel like... That would be more efficacious.
Isn't there a system well enough in place that
defecacious, somebody said. Thank you.
We don't have to clamp down that hard on people who have a problem with it? Like, isn't it aren't things, don't, isn't there enough momentum behind the cops having drones and tanks and everything? Oh. Isn't everything steadily moving in a direction that people who would get worried about poor people rising up and killing everybody, like they can relax for a little while the poor people can bitch and complain? Yeah.
You don't need to squash it immediately.
With the shit in Ferguson, it's like...
It's happening tonight right now again, by the way. Yeah. It's happening right now.
Yeah, shit's escalating again. I retweeted the number for the ACLU that somebody had tweeted. If you're being harassed by police while you're peacefully protesting, here's a number you can call. Like, that's going to make a big difference. I retweeted a fucking phone number. And still, with the Spocks and the fucking Asperger Republicans, like, are you there? I'm hearing conflicting reports. It's like, what fucking... Just side with the fucking people who are getting tear gassed now. Exaggerations, rumors. Who gives a fuck if we're sloppy about going fuck the police? We'll figure it out next week. When tear gas starts flying, side with the fucking tear gas. Period. You don't fucking side with the canisters. You don't bother. They're canisters. They're protected. You know, they don't need your help. They have your fucking tax money. They are funded by you. They don't need your help. They have armor. They have the government. They have everything. If there's a... When I'm trying to protest, shooting a teenage black man, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. I just fucking, like, why can't it be common American courtesy?
I love that no matter what, if you play that music, he has to make his point in that...
Why in this country that was founded by fucking brigands and rapscallions and fucking firebrands
and mountebanks?
Why have we? I know the answer. It's because we're all terrified. But what? How is that going to placate your terror? Like how are and you journalists out there in air quotes? I hope that this maybe is a warning shot across the bow. Like, I saw some good journalism going on out there. Cameras out in the street going, oh shit, we're getting fucking shot at. They're grabbing our cameras and they're tearing them apart.
It's crazy. They're literally telling them to not film, which is unbelievable.
So here's an idea. Now can we emerge from this age of neo-yellow journalism? Because guess what? No matter how on their side you are, they ain't ever going to be on your side when the chips are down. They're going to tear your fucking cameras apart. So be a fucking journalist, even in times of peace, because they're going to fuck you over as soon as they want to beat somebody. They're going to fuck you over. Be a journalist. Like it doesn't pay so much that you should be selling out your country. Let's all get our heads out of our asses. Why is it a part of American culture to just go, oh, this is that part of the part of our national lifespan when the heart throbs, there's a palpitation, and there's a city somewhere where some shit gets fucked up. Why isn't it common patriotic courtesy to side with the impoverished?
Right. It's crazy. Like, every good story is about the underdogs. It's amazing to me that, like, do you watch Star Wars?
And we took over the world based on the attractiveness of that story.
Yeah.
We didn't pitch the planet, hey, what if we ruled you? We pitched them, hey, what if the huddled masses could yearn to be free? We sold that pitch based on Star Wars.
Yeah.
We said, what if you could be broke and have a chance? It's fucking crazy to me when you see a quiet suburban neighborhood with a house that looks like all the houses that we grew up in, and it's really hard not to cry racism, because really, when you really boil down to it, and you squint at the camera, or you squint at the screen, and you go like, if all these people were white, would this be a fucking national scandal? Yes, it would. I really feel that way. I feel like there's too many black people on the screen for people to not engage in their natural skepticism. Like, oh, these guys are just...
Yeah, what are they doing?
You look at the live feed and there's comments under it streaming up, and it's half of them are like Michael Brown, live forever, God bless you, and all this stuff. And then the other half are people equally infuriated that have no stake in it except a strange xenophobia going like, why don't you fucking people get a job and stop complaining for the second? It's like weird dots that don't even need to be connected. These are American citizens standing in a quiet suburban street with fucking incendiary devices rolling down them, smoke filling, surrounding their oak trees, wafting past their bedroom windows where their children are sleeping in cribs. Would you put up with that? Would you tolerate that? What if it happened right here, right now? Would we tolerate this? And we label these little cities and we go like, oh, here's an event. This is an event that's going to begin and it's going to end. There's an incident going on. And we keep calling them incidents, but the police aren't calling them incidents because the police don't rent tanks for the moment. They acquire them gradually, and they're equipped for this. And more and more and more, every single police force is getting more and more military equipment as we go. They're prepared for this stuff. And it's not going to stop. The noose never loosens. It keeps tightening. And so when you're looking at live footage of a city in your country where people are being assaulted by the police, side with them. You don't have to do anything other than that. Just stop arguing about it. Stop waiting for more details. Stop hoping that it's not that big a deal and just side with them. You don't have to get in your car and drive down there. We'll do that later. But just stop fucking bitching about it against the people who are getting hit in the head with fucking incendiary devices. It's 9/11. That ends our political corner. That's just me talking to the two people that bitched at me for retweeting the ACLU's number. Don't fucking, like, I don't want, it's not a debate and it's not an argument. It's fucking common courtesy. When there's a fucking, like, blackout or there's a tsunami, there's a natural disaster, that's what a riot situation is. It's a fucking natural disaster. It's triggered by weird shit. And then it's a fucking delicate, weird, crazy situation where people can get hurt. And like it, you, fucking the fucking eyewitness reports, the anecdotal shit that is coming in from that city is deeply disturbing. And I'm 41, and it keeps getting closer and closer. You know how comfortable these people are with the situation. You realize that we are going to live in a world where they are already prepared for it and we're not. They're going to be driving down the streets in these fucking Humvees. They're going to have their gas masks. They're going to have their anti-personnel, anti-things, stomping all over the right to free assembly, stomping all over the right to freedom of speech. They're all geared up for it. And we're having fucking arguments about it because we want more clicks or less clicks or whatever the fuck we want access. We are not angry enough. We are not outraged enough. We're not hair trigger enough. We should be skeptical. It's our patriotic duty to be skeptical of the people that control us.
Yeah, but that's absolutely illegal now. Like, dissent is not something legal anymore. It used to be, and theoretically it still is, but dissent about the way that...
What about this concept? I'm sorry. Like how being monitored by the authorities. Remember that old adage about how if you're not guilty of something, you have nothing to worry about? Remember that old thing? How the fuck doesn't that apply to the fucking people that are out there enforcing the law? Why the hell? Why can we afford fucking drones and we can't afford fucking cameras? Put them on their hats. Put them in their armpits. Well, I want cameras everywhere on these motherfuckers. I'm paying them. I know it's not a hard job. Not an easy job. You are a hero and you're out there.
Those body cams and head cams are $900 or $950 a piece. They could put them on, but cops won't put them on because
it's an invasion of their privacy. And I don't blame them for feeling that way because they're human beings.
What's your stance?
I'm pointing out that why do we always start with criminals and pets and children and we don't start with cops? Because the cops need to do their job. And none of us can do our jobs when we're being surveilled. None of us can be Americans when we're being surveilled. So either all or fucking start with them. I don't know. That's my point, I guess. Like, before there's a fucking camera on every goddamn instance of every part of our private lives that can be used for or against us.
Start with cops.
Well, yeah. Well, let's use that fund for that. Because
I prefer disorder over organized order, which is a police state. I'd rather there be chaos. I'd rather things would be organically dealt with than the fundamental, like, idea that everything has to be completely controlled from the police.
And if we're animals and we can't be contained, then let's address that problem. If you can't control a city, if the system isn't working at all, then let's start having that conversation. Because we keep downshifting into like, well, these animals in this basin, they're having a little bit of a tantrum. They need to time out. They need some tear gas. How many of these, you know, how is this going to work? Like, I'll tell you how it's going to work. The blinds are going to keep being blurred, and there's just going to be dudes in bulletproof fucking SWAT gear, paramilitary people, like, patrolling every street that you're on. And if you're not guilty of anything, you have nothing to worry about.
And also, if they give police, the cynic in me says, if you give the police these head cams and they have these things that you can turn on when you go into a house because there's a crime in progress, or maybe... I think a lot of those cameras are going to fall off, and I think a lot of them are going to be broken. There's no way to control that.
Yeah, well, we're already in a culture of broken cameras. Apparently, a lot of cameras are getting broken in Ferguson. But
there was a live stream today of the cops threatening a reporter, threatening to shoot him. There's video of it. Cotton camera threatening to mace one reporter and shoot another. This is tonight. It's happening right
there's
now.
There's footage of cops ushering media away,
yeah, throwing
taking their equipment and destroying it. I haven't actually seen it. Maybe I'm spreading it.
No, I saw a video. It's a smoke bomb comes, the people run, and the cops show up and turn all the cameras, like, they point them all down at the ground, which is illegal.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And also, there's, philosophically, why are you doing that?
Is it illegal? I don't know that it is illegal.
Yeah, you can...
Yeah. But yeah, we know that it's fundamentally illegal, but like, no one's gonna fucking do anything about that. Like yeah, you're a terrorist forever flexing up back at a cop and saying no, First Amendment rights and stuff like that. Like, the definition of what is legal, what is not legal goes out the window the moment there's any sort of like fur flying out in the air.
I just say start from the ground up, like grassroots, because none of us are. We all have shit.
We should all
do.
Go out and vote.
voting
is gonna fucking fix it.
Let's accept
let's all
the
go
fact.
Out and vote on freedom
let's
of speech.
The fact
no, we
that
already have
a...
fucking freedom of speech. The freedom of speech speech was free until they said it was fucking free. And the moment who is it? Was it Thomas Jefferson that said the moment that we say speech is free is the last time it was free. Now it's gonna be lawyers arguing about what the what includes free speech. Can you yell fire in a public place? No, you can't. So a circle is drawn around free speech and encloses and closes and closes. There's nothing free. There's no fucking First Amendment. There's no, and the people that fucking are all fired up about the Second Amendment, fuck you. Like, fuck your guns. Fuck everything. So the first thing should be the ability for people to be to have liberty, and I think that goes away all like every fucking single day. And it's illegal to say anything anymore. Dissent became illegal.
Here's the thing, like, because when we have political conversations, they always come down to this point where 250 million people who have better shit to do are faced with the choice between going out and doing a bunch of shit that's a big inconvenience to them, right, or going on with their normal lives. I think that a successful political movement can actually be successful if all 250 million people just decide very casually
to ignore everything,
to stop siding with the people with the guns. Next time you're talking about this with your wife, with your husband, with your children, at a party, online, just that Republican part of you, fucking let it go. Because are you going to be rich? Is that what you're worried about? Or do you think that, like, if you sell out capitalism, it's going to turn its back on you and you're not going to get to be a high roller? Is that what's going on? You're one scratch off away, you're one promotion away from the myth of retirement. There's such a thing as capitalism without fucking elitism and so much hierarchy. You do not have to oppress people. You do not have to worship people that have more money than you. You can be at a party, and if someone brings up a topic like this, you can casually and coolly and smartly and wittily and funnily say, with all and a lot of other made-up adverbs, all I know, man, is if there's a fucking dude and a tank, I side with the dude. That's all I know. And if 250 million people feel that way, guess how that is called democracy, and capitalism will take its course. Like, because there won't be any money in making people in playing to the other thing. Like, they've got us freaked out. They make us think that we need, that we're going to be all rich one day, and that we need to keep kissing ass and clawing our way up and shitting on the people who dare to protest and complain down below us. I think that's the key. Like, we don't have to fucking go out and wheat paste flyers and play Red Rover and get sprayed in the face with shit. Those people are heroes, but we don't. You can fight the fight at a fucking party, hanging out, smoking pot, playing video games,
retweeting phone numbers.
If the zeitgeist is, if people put a thermometer in that turkey and it comes back, oh shit, they don't like us very much. Like, I think, let's try that methodology first. Change your attitude. No one wants to take your money. No one wants to take your fucking anything. Everyone wants you to be American and free and love your family and have your children and your Thanksgiving and all your shit. There's no culture war. There's no one's coming at you. Fucking the fuck you. All right. what do you think, Spencer?
It's all true. Every single word. It's all true. I had a weird story life event that happened as kind of relating to this. I retweeted an article that posited that tear gas actually acts as a nerve agent. Like, you know, it acts similarly to nerve gas in that it directly stimulates your nerves, causing a reaction rather than just like being a formal irritant. And I retweeted it, and some old guy was like, "Huh, that's bullshit. Stop spreading rumors." And I was like, "Well, that's a weirdly bold stance." And I was like, "You didn't read the article, did you?" And he's like, "I read the article. It's all rumors. Stop spreading them." And I was like, who the fuck are you? What are you talking about? It's just some old guy with a weird military haircut. And he's like, "I've been an expert of chemical weapons for 21 years. And I was like, "Oh, well, fuck.
You seemed like a bad guy."
Yeah. And then so I started doing my research, and I was like, okay, nerve gas, it stimulates the nerves. So does it's a nerve gas. It's a nerve gas. And I didn't know what to do because this guy's an expert, and I'm obviously a guy who's retweeting links. And then one of my followers or someone else retweets both of us and says, "Dan Cazzetta is a fraud. Don't trust him." And he linked an MIT article that an MIT professor wrote that was like, "Dan Cazzetta is active on Twitter and claims to be an expert, but in dealings with him, I've found his only..." And it was just like this crazy paper debunking this asshole, and I'm just sitting like watching all this stuff happen.
Wait, which guy was Cazzetta? The guy
Dan
you were...
Cazzetta was this expert that was calling bullshit on the thing. Okay. And I was just like, this is so weird. I just wanted to... It's an interesting article.
Like, why are... I think you're allowed to be wrong and spread rumors and be irresponsible.
It's also not the point whether or not it's a nerve agent.
I think that the responsibility starts and ends with the fucking guns and the tear gas and the things and the people who are getting paid.
And if they
to
show up
pace,
with like tanks, people are going to have a negative reaction to that. You can't show up looking like you're fucking.
And that is not time to meet the press. That is not time to have a fucking Lincoln Douglas debate about whether or not your facts are all in order. Because guess what? Your facts are going to be in order 48 hours from now. Do you know what shit's going to happen? It's just like it's called folklore. If a tank rolls down your street, guess what everybody gets to do? They get to make shit up. That's called our tank.
Well, I don't know about that.
Like, wait, you know, I fucking do know about it. That is the only thing that's keeping them from rolling over us with tanks now.
Is lying about
PR.
Them? Yeah. Well,
PR is called us, like, getting to go, "Oh, yeah, fucking, these guys are bad guys." Like, "Oh, what do you mean bad guys? Let's define the word bad." Fuck that. Fuck all of it. It's a fucking tank, man. Fuck that.
They
exaggerate, lie, spread rumors. You're under attack. Fuck off.
They just
the truth is crazy enough
on the guy too. It just came
Mike
out
Brown, right?
So, yeah, he was shot 6 times.
Two in the head.
Twice in the head from a distance.
In the back.
Well, some crazy. Of them were in the back.
All right.
We've covered a lot of ground in this podcast.
I'm biting my tongue because all my opinions are fucking unpalatable for everybody here. I won't say shit. Like, I don't like any of it. Like,
bring it. No,
you won't, because here's one. I don't like Led Zeppelin, so people won't like me for that. Also, fuck all governments. All of them. They're all bullshit. There's no such thing as a good one. The only good government is no government. And that people actually do have the ability to live without government and absolutely things be absolutely orderly. And the mythology that we have to have a structure of control.
You don't think you need a structure for any society?
No, you certainly
like
do.
A government governing structure that does like law and stuff like that?
Yeah, but people can creatively do that on their own. We don't have to have it be a bunch
of... No, there's societies that do horrible shit, and if there wasn't government outside, they're killing widows when their husbands die.
You have to be very educated. You have to spend a lot of years getting it together. There have been times in history when people have tried to do it, and they were...
But it's not going to happen, so we need government.
That's probably true, and it's a very sad...
Well, this cyclical concept, though, of the world's shitty, so it has to be shitty. The world's shitty, so it has to be shitty. The world's shitty, so it has to be shitty.
Zeppelin rules.
The idea
Led Zeppelin
of idealism...
is a good band with a shitty lead singer.
You could need a brace on your leg because your leg hurts, because your leg is fucked up, and you need to walk.
I'm glad somebody fucking is supporting that stance. It's a bold stance.
I am anti-brace.
You have a right and almost a duty to look at that brace and go, like, this is a thing that is unnatural, that is here, that I need right now, that I would like to not have if I can somehow figure out a way to not have it.
Sure.
That's what government should be. You should be able, like, no one should ever be like, I love government. That's insane. And no one that works in government should ever be like, this is an honor. No, it's not. It should be blighted.
In a perfect world, we wouldn't need any of you.
It should be like working at the post office. The president should have poop for breakfast every day.
With a little scoop of sand.
Yeah.
Just a tiny scoop.
And he should be like, God damn it, I can't wait to be done being president. I'm so good at it. They really need me, and I got to keep the trains running on time, but fucking A, it pays shit, and it's fucking hard.
Celebrating is so weird when you become president. It's like, why? Next 4 years are going to suck.
The office of the presidency wasn't really that big of a deal for a lot of years. Like, it wasn't that big of a thing. Now it's become this celebrity shit.
Yeah.
That now you're some sort of kind of like emperor. It really isn't that big of a deal. It's a functionary office, and that's all that it should be. And also, it should be very fucking temporary. And also, the people shouldn't give two shits about it. The best politician that wins every year or every election is nobody, because most people don't fucking vote. Why? Does it matter? The idea that Democrats and Republicans are all that different, lies. They're the same fucking party. They have the idea that we have a left and a right in our democracy, we do not. There are two sides that are pretty left. I mean, sorry, pretty right. And they're getting farther and farther right. George Herbert Walker Bush would be a lefty compared to what's going on now. The idea that when you vote for Obama versus so-and-so or whatever the fuck, the idea that there's one side versus another side and there's two giant differences between them, it's absolutely insanity. It diminishes our intellect. It diminishes the democracy. Our Constitution has... basically, been turned to shit. Also, it's frequently shit on. And when the tanks roll in, you're gonna feel like a bad person for saying "fuck you, tanks," because the tanks will have American flags on them, and we'll be a bad person. Not only will we be shot at, but we'll also just feel like bad Americans for it. As good Americans, you should have absolutely abhor government at all times. There should be a revolution all the fucking time. And we cannot do it because we're too stupid to actually get up in the morning and take care of our elderly, to teach our children, to pave a fucking road without letting other people do it. We don't know how to do it. We've been taught not to do it.
Well, we're too happy. The cartoons are too good and the video games are too fun.
Is America a bad country? No, America is one of the best shitty places in the world. It's fantastic. We get along quite well here.
The Wi-Fi is pretty bad.
But also, we don't get to really wave a flag and say that we are what we think we are, because the world looks at the American flag in a lot of parts of the world, I think, and runs for fucking cover because there's fucking drones attacking them, and we torture people. We do everything that we don't believe in, and we're not good guys. We're not heroes anymore. We haven't been for a good long time. Actually, I don't know that we ever fucking were. We had slavery forever and thought that was quite all right. We're still the most misogynist and fucking racist fucking bunch of people that can move around. You know, there's worse countries than ours. I'm not saying it's the worst place in the world, but we can't wave a banner and say that we're doing it all right. We're not doing it all right.
I think we can, but we have to keep striving.
Yeah, but we don't strive anymore. We don't strive anymore because we think we fucking already crossed the finish line.
I think we're allowed to brag about everything we've done, but we have to keep on like competing with somebody other than
I agree with that. I'm not saying that it's the worst country in the world, that it's bad. I'm saying that...
But it's the most apathetic, I think. The populace is the most apathetic.
I don't like the hypocrisy of saying that we actually do love liberty and that we do love freedom, because we don't. We're quite willing to
make cupcakes.
We're quite willing to.
I was just guessing.
To limit
cupcakes?
Our own democracy and limit freedom. I fucking hate governments. I fucking hate them all. I hate Led Zeppelin.
All right. Led Zeppelin and governments. Overrated.
Also, Snowpiercer is a bad movie. Fuck Snowpiercer.
My favorite line from that movie.
It's a bad movie.
It's good.
It's a fucking awesome movie.
You know what? Apocalypse Now, not that great.
It's no. I agree. Apocalypse Now is too fucking long. It's too fucking long.
An unfair treatment of Vietnam.
All right. What
E.T., else? Third act problems. Fuck you.
I just feel like.
Goonies doesn't hold up. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. Go watch Goonies again.
There's nothing sacred.
Also,
government,
you know, I was sad
Goonies.
I was sad for me. Real Genius did not live up to my remembrance of it. It's not that good anymore. Watch it again. It's pretty.
Watch
it's not
it again.
That great.
Watch your government
good.
Again.
Also,
the Goonies of government.
Also, am I right about everything? No. I love words. Do I say every word right? No. And so there's going to be people that are going to hate everything I say. Let's all go have a drink, sit around and talk about it. I will convince you of two things. Rush sucks and voting is gay. Also, saying voting is gay doesn't make me a homophobe. It makes me wish I hadn't said voting is gay. Because I undercut everything I just fucking said.
Yeah, that would be great at the end. And then, you know, black people can vote now, so that's weird.
We've been too soft on Asians. I fucking think Asians are getting getting a free ride.
Jeff Davis would have you believe that voting is gay. But he thinks Asians are all right. Jeff Davis hates gays, soft on Asians. Paid for by Dan Harmon.
I was making fun of myself while I said that, but voting is stupid. Being gay is fucking great.
I'll
suck anybody's dick after the show. If you vote for it. If you all fucking... If there's a fucking plurality, I will suck a dick. Yes, my name is Jim Davis. I'll see you after the show.
I think all gay people worth their salt can handle the occasional slip up.
I know. That's
especially when it's got the red handkerchief on the 2x4 of like, oops, sorry about that. I think that's actually better than not saying anything.
Also,
at all.
I sat her in silence because I hate talking about it, because what I believe in, I don't even know how to support it. I used to believe in what Emma Goldman, Mikhail Bakunin, Kropotkin, and like the great anarchist thinkers, that the idea that anarchism is the mother of order. It's not disorder. The idea that we have to be led around by people that we don't know anything about, and these fake structures and shit like that. When I start talking about that, I bore myself senseless because I don't really know how to support it. And then I say something stupid like voting is gay, which undercuts everything, and people are going to have a fucking field day on that. To which I say, hooray, you should, because I'm a fucking moron. I just don't like government.
Well, this is the thing that drives me nuts about politics, is that there's no idealism has no... We treat idealism the same way that we treat everything else that's actually already going on. That I have a big problem with. I think that you need to be able to stand at a party and say, I think everybody should be naked. And it shouldn't be held to the same scrutiny. If everyone was naked, then there wouldn't be pants. And if there were no pants, let's never think about anything. It's like really important to soak ourselves in idealism. It's not all going to take. But the shit that's already working, it's working. And it's working too well. And it ain't working good enough. And we need to, like, constantly be soaking in a solution of idealism. We need to have crazy people saying, what if we were communists? What if we were naked? What if we, like, what if there was no government? What if garbage was food? What if you could turn salt water into fresh water?
What if sand was poopy?
What if we weren't dependent on oil? What if the fucking planet is slowly heating up and it's our fault? You need to constantly have people. You can't, if you constantly put everything that those people say under a microscope and bash them to pieces if it doesn't hold up to the same things that have the status quo behind them, then we're definitely fucked. That's called stagnation. That's called a tree that doesn't bend. It's going to break and uproot and float down the Amazon River. All right, let's
stare at me, I guess. That's what let's do.
You got any D&D in store for us?
Oh, do I? Yes.
I wish voting were more gay. I guess that's my problem. Voting is too strict.
Nobody is really offended by that. I think you're being too hard on yourself.
I'm paranoid. I'm going to get fucking
You're being too hard on yourself. You just spoke something and you regretted it. There's certain things that we've been saying our whole lives that are now, we realize, not the right thing to say, I think, correctly. And so sometimes you fall back on old patterns, but you caught yourself and that's all that matters.
That's true.
The fear is that people continue to not think about it and then just go, oh, that thing's gay, that thing's gay.
Right.
That's exactly the thing. You considered
what you said and realized that, you know.
No, that was foolish of me. And
what you said was gay.
But also, like.
No. What I said.
What I said
was retarded, Kamel. It was totally retarded.
My sister's retarded.
Is she?
Yep. To beat the band.
What did you say?
To beat the band?
Beat the band?
She's retarded to beat the band, is what he said.
You've never heard
that. What does that mean? No, what does that mean?
She's really retarded.
Beat the band means really retarded?
To beat the band.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm...
Oh, fuck. That ice cream was... That was so good. That was delicious. I'd eat that to beat the band. It means,
wait,
like...
explain it to me.
Stop the band. When you used to quiz bands and then...
No, Adam, you're wrong.
Tell me what it means.
Singing loud enough to beat the band.
Oh, singing to beat the band. He was yelling to beat the band. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, out shouting the...
Like
being
forcefully.
That makes sense. You know, I just found out that hoisted by your own petard.
Love it.
41 years old. I've used that expression a million times. I always pictured a petard as a special fancy kind of pants. And that being hoisted by your own petard meant that your pants were so fancy that it made it easy for like people to like lift you up and like dangle you. I always pictured like a fancy guy in a pirate ship going like, you pirates are going to have to get a new way of doing things. I'm Mr. Fancy Pants. I'm wearing a petard. From now on, no plank walking, and I'll tell you why. And that the pirates go like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Yeah, his petard has like a huge loop
handle,
on it.
Yeah.
Let's put the thing in. Then they hoist him up, and he's like, whoa, and another thing. Whoa. I always thought that's what hoisted by your own petard means.
It means a grenade.
A petard is a bomb. Hoisted refers to being blown up
by your own bomb.
Yeah,
I think the original appearance in print is like heisted, like you're being lifted up in the air by like people that were sappers that go to blow up a wall. They would put a bomb there. Frequently, they blow themselves up so that they're being
hoisted. I honestly. Crazily had the exact same image in my head.
It's like a petard.
It was a pirate ship. A guy with fancy pants.
For real?
I'm not joking. I swear.
Are you making fun of me?
I know. I always pictured a guy. It's a pole, and he's got his pants are, and he's like, boom, 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 boom. He's doing that.
But that's where
I shouldn't have worn my petards today. Don't take a stand if you're wearing a petard.
Where somebody lifts you up by your collar and your pants, and they carry you out. That's called walking Spanish.
Yeah.
I love that one. he was walked Spanish out of a place. That's where you get like hoisted out.
Is that really true?
That's so it goes.
This is back then, Spanish
also,
people were
they were
always flying.
There's a series of really good books by I think it's Earl Funk from Funk and Wagnalls called the one's called Heavens to Betsy, one's called Horse Feathers, one's called Hog on Ice. And there's a fourth one I can't remember.
It's all the
history of etymology of weird phrases like where to break a leg. Comes from, or where to know the ropes, and so like it's the first appearances in print, and the titles of all of them are ones that we don't know. We don't know why Heavens to Betsy. But I love Break a Leg, and it's one of those things where there's lots of different ideas about where Break a Leg came from, But it's not like a thing that you wish bad things to happen to actors so good things happen, like as a superstition. To break a leg, when you would bow at the end of a show, it's where you would get up and crack your back leg. And that was meaning make it to the end, make it to the bows. Because most shows were so shit, and the audience would be so angry.
So that they're just saying, hopefully you get to the end of the show.
They're saying don't suck, because people would like the groundlings, the people that would come and that would stand there, they really would bring rotting cabbages and eggs and shit to throw at you, because it cost a dime or a nickel or a penny to get into the show, and I could be making that dime or nickel out at my stand or doing what I do. And so if the show sucks, they just would throw shit at you and leave. So for an actor to say break a leg, it means make it to the bows. And I love that. But that's, again, that's up for debate because people say different things. But I prefer to believe that.
Is that where slowly as theater got more and more improved, they started to throw fresh produce?
Yeah.
Which became flowers?
Yeah.
And then panties.
The freshest of flowers. Panties.
The first production of Tom Jones.
Yes. By the time he got in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Pretty gay.
Play the music.
Pretty gay. Are we doing this shit?
Yeah, right?
Hang on a second.
I guess.
Do you not want to?
We don't have Aaron. Do we need a replacement?
Do you not want to?
No, I just am a commercial.
Is Aaron not here?
Aaron's not here. Haven't you seen...
Do you want somebody to
sure? I mean, fine. I don't care.
We should get a lady. We've got a lot of testosterone up here.
Yeah, isn't it great to hear three guys or four guys talk about politics and bore everybody senseless? Could we get a gal up on here to play? What's her new character called?
We got
Sarsgaard?
A hand up over here.
Destiny Sarsgaard.
What's the new character? Tell me real quick.
Come on up, young lady. You raise Woo! Your hand.
Yeah. Woo! Welcome to the set. What is your name?
Molly.
Hello, Molly. Welcome.
Give Molly the thing.
I saw this guy make a very vulgar gesture. I was really offended.
What?
Who did?
Wait, what?
Do you need this?
Oh, those are both yours. Oh.
That's it. Who made a vulgar gesture? Towards whom?
Towards you guys. Towards you guys.
Who did?
Oh, shit.
Who did?
The guy here in the yellow shirt.
Adam? What was the gesture?
That's the last straw.
It was like a fuck you, but it also involved his other hand to show the full...
It was smoking feet and jacking off.
There you go.
That's Adam Goldberg.
Molly, are you new here?
Huh?
Are you new here?
This is my second time.
Okay.
Well, it's Adam Goldberg. He's God's offensive gesture.
I see.
Is a human middle finger.
Yeah, God was like, fuck you, America. Have this. I'm just being serious.
I'm just being serious. All right, Kumail, or Spencer, would this be included in your intro to explain to Kumail what happened with Aaron's character?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Let's try our luck.
I don't really think about that stuff.
Me neither.
I know.
All right. Where are we doing? Here we go.
When we last met, our heroes were in some big danger. After what was meant to be a simple dispatching of highwaymen on the road to Rosebook, Mulrain lied dead by her own hand, and the gnome our heroes aimed to save had a broken neck. But before the gang could even catch their breath and mourn their fallen friend, a fiery maelstrom of light pushed the gang to escape, who levitated the paralyzed gnome to safety. In town they met Dignity, a paladin with a friendly, if pushy, demeanor, who brought the party to the constabulary to discuss their travels. After a spot of tea, our gang met Father Tinder, a friendly but perverse old abbot in charge of the city. Tinder was immediately suspicious of the group, but Dignity smoothed things over. There is a moment of calm, but then Admiral Darkstar, still under the skin of Yomiji, his heavenly host, came blasting through the sky towards the town. The powerful fiend assaulted the town, but was repelled by Rosebook's powerful defensive magic. The wards stood strong, but for how long? And how long before Father Tinder would learn of the gang's connection to their deadly foe? Find out this time on an all-new installment edition of Harmontown Time.
Yeah.
So Destiny's a paladin?
A paladin.
That's the new character?
It's Dignity.
Dignity.
Dignity. And that's you.
Yeah. That's sort of the theme I came in on.
Dignity.
Yes, Sarsgaard.
Great. Yep.
So Dignity, tell us all about yourself.
I'm immune to sleep. I do have an Adderall prescription, so that makes sense.
That's actually useful. Can I get your number?
Don't metagame.
Yeah. Yeah, what are numbers?
Yeah, what do you mean?
All right, where are we? I wasn't listening.
Why don't you listen?
I'm having a fight with Aaron, and I was listening.
Hey, that makes sense.
Is that why she's not here? There was a fight?
Probably. It's my fault.
Because I saw you guys a little while ago, and I thought she was coming.
Yeah, no, fight.
What happened? You guys are going through counseling.
Sometimes the counseling gives me new ways to be mean to her. Like, I learn new ways to...
You have a new vocabulary for abuse?
Yeah. Bad fiance. And I miss her, and I'm sorry. I'm a bad fiance. I can't.
Hey, these lights are on. I think they're not supposed to be on. They came on at some point.
Oh, but it's nice, actually.
Oh, if you let's.
So it's like we're doing it in a Caribbean bungalow.
Caribbean bungalow.
All right, so we are.
That's why
we have that image in our heads.
Okay.
Right?
I'm sorry.
We did a thing. We met Dignity, and then now we're in the constabulary.
Kumail,
Angel's trying to get.
Aaron killed her character off.
I saw the killing. And I was here for the
now
killing.
Now she's a new character, which by all accounts is the same person, just with a different name and a different possible outlook on life, but really the same thing.
I don't know where you're getting that. It's not really a great sample size.
Oh, just one mission? You mean one day?
I mean one episode.
It seemed a lot like the old character.
I'm not saying you're necessarily absolutely wrong. I just think it's unjustified.
It was a small sample.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So now we're in Rose Book right now?
Yep.
And is the storm from the Admiral Darkstar still approaching? Is it upon
us? You're outside. You're looking up. He's still in the body of this angel that he's possessed. And he's circling around and pounding on the dome-like barrier around the city. He can't get in, though, it seems.
Well, yeah, looks like he's trying to get in. Should probably go check on those soul rods, make sure they're holding up.
Okay. So those are the perimeter, so you want to go check those out?
I'd like to go check out the soul rods.
You okay, Sharpie? You seem a little down on your balls a little bit. Everything okay?
I'm all right.
Okay, cool.
All right, I'll go check out the soul rods.
You go to the nearest soul rod. It seems to be strictly reinforced. There's a cleric. He's praying, and his hands are outstretched, kind of like washing over the over the rod with his magical energies. He's kind of keeping it powered.
Hey, you need any help?
He doesn't respond.
Hey, I'm talking to you.
He's chanting under his breath.
Hey.
Bad pitch that set him on fire.
No. I'm doing a bit. All right. I was doing a bit.
Just for a bit.
Yeah, I was doing a bit. See you later. Good job praying.
So these soul rods are kept, the city's protected by, it's powered by prayers.
Yeah. And magic.
Right.
If you listen, you can hear.
It must be 5 a.m.
What?
I just set my pen down and I played a song. I'm sorry.
His pen plays the studio. All right. Okay. So
you're at this soul rod and you're trying to talk to this guy who's not responding. But as you're talking to him, you hear the squeaking of a wooden cart, and you turn and you see Father Tinder. He's pushing a wooden cart full of kegs and growlers and glasses and cups. He's got all this juice in his cart, and he's pushing it along. And he's like, what is he like? Now everybody keep calm. Our wards have never failed us against evil, and they won't now. Not as long as we hold strong. Now who wants juice? He hands a juice to the cleric, who kind of wordlessly grabs it and puts it in his pocket without breaking his incantation.
What kind of juice is it?
Oh, all Father sorts Kinder? Of juice. We got orange juice and grape juice. I guess it's just two kinds of juice.
What does the juice do?
It, you know, good for the nerves. It's wholesome. It's wholesome.
I ask for a growler of juice.
He gives you a skin instead, a wine skin, but of juice.
I ask for a fucking growler.
Hey, man.
Hey. Whoa, whoa. Come on, man.
Sorry. It's customary.
Can I have a vial of juice?
They come in skins.
Can I have a growler?
No, I'll give you a skin of juice.
Can I get a goblet of grape juice?
I have a wooden cup.
Half cup.
Yeah, it looks like a goblet.
I'll take just a portion of juice.
He starts pouring juice for you guys.
I say we take some of this juice, take it around the corner, and do a little CSI on it.
See what's in it?
CSI.
Yeah, see what's in it?
See what... I'm sorry, I thought you misheard me.
No.
CSI would see what's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as he's pouring you this juice, he's like, so you guys are... You're awfully calm.
Oh, we just loved receiving juice.
Yeah. I don't like to drink it around people. I'm going to go around the corner.
Just normally when there's giant things beating down the door, you know, people freak out.
Ha ha ha, you got it, buddy.
That's what she said.
All right, let's go. Let's see what's in this fucking juice.
All right. Hey, what's your name? Destiny.
It's Dignity.
Dignity.
We just met you, sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. I can distract the guy while you do the thing.
Oh, yeah, talk
juice.
To him. He's your boss. Yeah.
He's my boss?
Yeah, he is your boss. Okay.
Well, he's the boss of the town.
I mean, right. I see.
She works for the town.
Sure.
I have holy texts. I can read them, about them.
Read him the holy texts.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So, you sidle up to Father Tinder and start... reading off scripture.
All right, come on. All right, come on. Let's go. All right. CSI.
All right, CSI. Let's see what's in it.
CSI.
I follow them, and we're going to see. We're going to CSI.
We go into a doorway. Okay.
Do we have any CSI equipment?
I have knowledge arcana.
Yep.
13. All right, that's the first thing. I'm just dribbling it on my fingers, and I'm like checking it out.
Yeah, I'm going to do sense motive on it.
It seems to want to. Be drank, I guess.
I use perception on it to see what the deal is.
It looks like juice.
Because it's been a long day, I go, guys, I'm a gnome. I'm pretty tough. I'm a barbarian. I'll take a sip of the juice.
No, come on, man.
Come on. That's not the thing of it.
We'll try it. He's a juice dealer. He's, I think that...
I honestly think that...
You think this is a bad idea?
Yeah, because I think the worst case scenario is you go Jim Jones, like, Jonestown participant. If best case scenario is you don't, and then who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's high risk, low yield.
Okay. Yeah, because either nothing happens and that's not interesting, or you die.
Okay.
There's no way to win.
I don't drink it, Spencer. I don't drink it, but I walk back to Father Tinder at the juice cart.
Okay.
And I say, oh, thank you. That was delicious. And I look at him expectantly.
Okay.
What do the rest of you guys do in the doorway?
I can detect evil. Should I detect if the juice is evil?
I should have waited for you to do that.
Well, yeah, the juice, it's not evil.
Okay. So I go, oh, thank you for the tender.
You know what? I'm going to put it down on the ground, and I have stealth 13. I'm going to sneak up to the juice.
I'm pretty sure we can drink this juice safely. I'm not getting a bad vibe off this juice.
What about my knowledge arcana?
I got caught up in other things, I guess. You use your knowledge of arcana and you find out that it's not magical. It only extends to your knowledge of magic, which this is not.
All right, it might be chemical.
All right.
What about my brew potion feat? Doesn't that mean that I can see a Mickey when I see one?
Well, potions are magical, so...
Your mama's magical.
I wish. That'd be amazing.
All right. Well, I don't... I mean, I...
Granting wishes.
So I say to him, I go... Oh, I said, hey, Father Tinder, I drank that juice and... Fucking... That's the stuff.
Yeah. I make it myself.
Yeah, so what do you... Did you have some juice today?
I always have juice. It's my secret juice.
And what would you say
it just drops
its major property? Like, that. I'm feeling pretty... pretty good, but
it's like, major property?
Yeah.
Deliciousness.
I go up to him and I go, what the fuck, man?
What?
Oh, that's fucking mind control juice.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. I have skills in it. I can detect it. It's fucking mind control juice. What the fuck, man?
And I come in pretending to be under... Juice is commanding me to do stuff.
Fuck, you see this shit?
Oh, the juice, almighty juice.
I don't want to be rude, but I sense that you're deceiving me right now.
All right, okay, you're right.
You got
called,
us.
You called. All right. It's a little thing we do when people offer us juice.
So it's just...
We've been to a lot of towns.
It's just juice?
We call this due diligence.
We call it juice diligence.
I bet when
juice.
You were our age, juice. You juice. Tested juice before you drank
it. Yeah, I mean, we CSI juice all the time.
He said he's got a force field around it.
All right.
The juice should be suspicious.
We're going to drink it.
I drink my juice.
I'm going to put mine in my pocket.
I drink the whole thing down.
I'm putting mine in my pocket.
I drink my juice.
I give mine to the robot baby.
You give your juice to the robot baby. You put it in your pocket.
I put mine in my pocket.
I drink my juice.
Yep.
I'm sure did. I'm going to turn mine into water.
Wait, how do you do that?
It says divine favor.
I think you can create water, but not turn stuff into it.
Never mind.
Oh.
I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I feel like we really like sort of got stuck in this juice thing.
I think the Kool-Aid man just came by and we got all freaked out.
Yeah.
Well, he has a force field over his city. He runs the place like Charles Manson. He's creepy. He sexually harasses his female underlings. And he brings juice around. We were right to check the juice out.
All right. So I drink.
Sorry, I hope you didn't hear any of that.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty perceptive.
I drink my juice and I try to sense any ill effects or positive effects from it.
It tastes a bit bitter, like it has orange rind in it.
You know, some people don't like it.
I make a poopy face.
All right. Yeah, that happens.
Hey, Father Tender.
Yeah.
How long do you think your soul rods will hold out against this demon angel?
Oh, you know, they'll hold out forever. As long as God's favor's on my side.
Oy vey.
He pats a pocket on his chest.
What is that?
What?
What's in your pocket, sir?
Oh, I don't have a pocket. He reveals no pocket where he was patting. See? No pocket.
What were you patting over there?
God's favor.
It's in your heart?
It's in my heart.
Aww.
No pocket, though.
No pocket, though. I showed you.
Nothing? Nothing in the juice?
Nothing in the juice. Why do you think there's stuff in the juice?
Yeah, you kind of run things in a autonomistic way.
I mean, no. Do I? That's not true, is it?
Autocratic.
What do you think?
He's great. It's great, right? I'm on his side. This is awesome. I love it. I love the force field.
I think everybody loves the force field.
Guys, yeah, we're not anti-force field.
Try the juice. It's a little bitter, but, you know.
I gave it to the baby. What's the baby's name?
Lodgy,
did you like it?
Was I supposed to drink it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't drink stuff.
Yeah, Lodgy, don't drink anything.
You know what? I'm going to drink it.
Is this the episode where we just stand around and talk about juice books?
Sounds like it.
This could be the most important episode of our lives.
It's like the most boring Anthony Bourdain episode.
Let's just not get antsy and start burning the place down.
No, we're good. All right, I'll drink the juice. I'll drink your juice.
You drink the juice.
Orange rind, fuck.
Yep.
Some people don't like it. I don't like it.
I got grape juice. How does the grape juice taste?
It tastes great.
You guys should have gotten grape juice.
I drank some back around the corner. It's great.
Hey, can I have some grape juice?
Sure. There's enough juice for all.
What's the point of this? Just for refreshments?
Or? Yeah, it's my thing. I mean, you have hobbies, right?
Show us where you make the juice?
At my juicery.
Well, can you take us there? We're big juice fans.
Hey, guys, everyone, let's go to the juicery.
We drank the juice. We love juice. We want to see where the juice is made.
All right, let's go.
All right.
To the juicery.
This is going to be the best. This is the best fucking D&D of all time.
I can do it. Let's do it.
Not only did we talk about juice, we're going to go see how it's made.
This is like
this is my favorite bridge of Mr. Rogers when he's like, "Let's go to the milk plant." I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, kill me."
Yeah. This is every fucking role player's fantasy.
Right. Is there wheatgrass? Can I get to do a shot of wheatgrass?
What's wheatgrass?
All right, I guess that answers the question.
Here we go to the juicery.
I have a horse.
Oh, look at that building.
Oh yeah, you could ride the horse.
Woo.
But you get there way before everyone else.
That's fine.
All right.
Hey, when was that building made? I pointed a building.
I don't know.
Well, what's that building do?
That's the house.
Who was born there?
I don't know that anyone was.
Where's the juicery?
Born there. Well, it's
are we
right
there yet?
Here.
Are we at the juicery?
We sure are.
How far is it? Oh,
it's here
God.
Currently.
Are you shrobbing the juicery right now?
Sounds like it.
All right. Here we are, guys. Fucking, the sense of anticipation.
Do we just walk in or
no? Standing outside of the juicery is it looks like a knight who seems like he's been standing there a while, and he also seems like he's been drinking.
It's a juice night.
Drinking juice?
No, he seems drunk, I should say.
Oh, what's your knight's name?
Oh, that's Darmvon.
Hey, Darmvon.
Hey.
Seriously, feels like with that name makes me think we weren't supposed to come to the juicery. That feels like a name that was thought of when the sentence was started.
If we die outside of a juicery, I'd be very disappointed.
So,
Darmvon.
Hey.
Darmvon, step aside, matey. We're going to go inside and see how juice is made.
Just like one second. I just want to talk to Father Tinder real quick.
Okay, as you like.
Yeah, go for it.
Father Tinder's like, that sounds fine. Gentlemen, if you give us a bit of privacy.
Oh, privacy? We didn't say we would give you privacy.
Hey, look, if it's important, you can say it in front of me.
Yeah.
I'd really rather not this happen.
I think everyone's allowed to hear everything.
No, let him hear it. Let him hear it. Let him hear it.
Says Darmvon.
Father Darmvon said that.
Okay, great. Darmvon.
You know why this demon thing's here, and you can stop it, Father. And Father Tinder's like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. This guy's crazy. He's like a heretic or something. And Darmvon's like, you gotta listen. You gotta give it up. Otherwise, he's gonna kill us all. You gotta give it up. And Father Tinder's like, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Can you guys help me out? Can you help me out here?
I'm glad we listened to this conversation.
Who's saying that? Father Tinder?
Father Tinder. He's like, this guy's crazy.
Well, we want to hear what he has to say. Yeah, if he's crazy, we'll just dismiss it.
Sounds, a lot of times alcohol just releases the inhibitions. I mean, it doesn't mean that what he's saying isn't true.
Alcohol's evil. He's going to kill us all.
No, he's not going to kill us. Let's
he's
just hear
mad on alcohol.
You he can't... Just... Silence dissent. Let's hear it out.
That's how stagnation breeds, and then pretty soon you're gonna have juice tanks rolling up and down the streets.
If you won't give it up, I'm gonna take it from you and give it up myself.
What does give it up mean?
The what's it called? Ah! He draws his sword quickly.
Oh no!
And moves towards Father Tinder. What do you do?
I fucking stand back and watch what's about to happen.
No. I go and I get in the way and I'm like, hey, knight, tell us what you mean, Darmvon. Please, don't attack. Let's use our words. It's what separates us from animals.
So he lunges at you because you step into his path and...
My hands are up.
Yeah, your hands are up. And he slips and he falls and he impales himself on his own sword. It's a critical fail. And the life pulses out of him as he bleeds onto the floor. So, Father Tinder goes, that's fucked up.
So that will remain a mystery with that guy's fucking...
All right, let's go to the juicery.
See how juice is made.
Juice!
Juicery. Thank you for coming, everybody. Harmontown, thank you, Molly, for helping us out. Very well done.
What a great job Molly did. Yay!
Let's thank Camille Nanjiani, Spencer Crittenden, and I'm Jeff Davis. Am I forgetting anybody? Dave Clark was in the back room and never came out. The mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon. This show brought to you by Poopy Sand.